Boy, 15 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock on the dots. 95.4, that's your frequency. And right about now, we are joined by Dr. Lumka Maneli. We are super excited to have you, Doctor. You know why? Because I personally, I don't know about Usmangaliso, but I personally just appreciate this time that we have with the Neurodevelopmental Center to learn about everything that has to do with our minds and all the disorders, neuro disorders, right?
Neurodiversity.
Exactly. Just to learn also how to deal with them and all of that good stuff. Now, I think the first thing that we need to ask is for doctor to actually introduce herself and the department that you're from and your role in the department.
Okay. Firstly, I would like to say thank you very much for this opportunity. And I would also like to thank the Center of Neurodiversity, UJ, for creating this platform, really, for us to come in and educate the community when it comes to neurodiversity. I am Dr. Lumka Maneli. I'm an occupational medical practitioner, and I came to the world of autism when my daughter was actually diagnosed with autism. She's 17 years old now. But on my daily life, I'm not working in, I'm not really working in that field, but I'm a mom. Of an autistic teenager.
On that note of autism, we have here what we call ASD, which is autism spectrum disorder. What is that, doctor?
Okay, so autism spectrum disorder is a broad term, right, used to describe a group of neurodevelopmental conditions. I mean, we've heard about other, or we're still going to learn about the other conditions that fit into this. But specifically autism, it is characterized by differences in communication and social interaction. And people with ASD often demonstrate restricted and repetitive patterns of behavior.
Now that you've explained what autism spectrum disorder is, I think, I don't know about you, Smile, but I don't know what spectrum is. The only thing I know about spectrum is from physics, that it's colors as seen in the rainbow that are produced by separation of components and all of that by a thing called, I think, refraction or something. That's all I know. What is spectrum in autism disorder?
Always hear they're on the spectrum.
They're on the spectrum.
Explained.
So it's called this because autism, it is highly variable and experienced differently by different people. So people with autism do not all have the same symptoms. For example, others may have advanced conversation skills, whereas others may be totally nonverbal. So it's different for every person. Like, we are different as neurotypical people. Also, people who are neurodiversity, they are also their own people, like different from each other. So that's why you call them, they're on the spectrum.
Absolutely got that.
And we've been seeing, like, so much information about autism recently, and I want to know how prevalent it actually is, because people tend to, like, self-diagnose or, you know.
I need us to actually hold that on that note, right? Because I think it's a question that, obviously, doctor, you are going to answer us, but I want us to also take it to social media for people to kind of ponder on that and think about it, because it is a thing now. I think a lot of people now know the term, but let us just go and do sell some stuff on the air. Stay tuned. Hope you're still having a blast of a Friday, man. I'm super excited. I'm happy that the weather has changed. It's a very beautiful sunny one, and we are still chilling. You know what I mean? What are these waves and
wind, strong wind, cold.
There was a lot. There was a lot that happened. Dr. Lumka Maneli still in studio with us, and we're talking all things autism spectrum disorder. We did learn a lot thus far, and Smanglisa was just asking how prevalent ASD really is.
Is it as common as we think it is right now?
Definitely. The numbers are rising. You know, when I first learned of autism in the late 90s, we were talking about one child in every 150. By the time when my daughter was diagnosed in the 2008-2009, when I went back, because now I'm a mom, my daughter is diagnosed, we're talking about one in 100. But currently, we're talking one in every 36 children with autism. So there's definitely a rise. But then with that, there's also a possibility, because my thinking is that there's also a lot of awareness. So that's why we love this platform. So people are coming out, more kids are being diagnosed, there's more research that's coming in. And I think because of the awareness and also because of improvements in terms of diagnosing, more people are being diagnosed.
Now people know that these symptoms are for autism.
Yes,
absolutely
correctly.
Makes sense. Now, I really just want to know, why is there often a delay in diagnosing ASD?
Okay.
What causes that delay?
That's a good question. So the thing is with autism, like, we don't have a blood test, like, where they are going to say we do this kind of test to prove that the person has autism. So the doctors or clinicians, for them to diagnose autism, they rely on them observing the behavior on the child, number one. And then the other thing is also on the accurate account of developmental milestones from the parents. So if you look at these two, so it means we need clinicians who with knowledge in autism and how it presents. And also we need parents who are very attentive in their children's developmental milestones. And in the context of South Africa, it makes even a bit difficult because we're a multicultural country, and sometimes what is accepted in another culture might not be accepted. So the fact that children don't look adults into the eyes when they speak, others people might see that as a form of respect, showing respect, when other people feel like, actually, you're disrespecting, I'm talking to you and you're not looking to me. So there are those elements that then cause the delay in diagnosing.
No, that makes sense. Now, what causes autism spectrum disorder? Because my thing is, for the longest of time, I assumed that the vaccines that we get go primary. Yazi, because in primary level, in our primary level of study, we get vaccinated for either flu or rash. So there'll be people from the medical field that come through and they vaccinate us. Sometimes they do give you a concern from sometimes from the beginning of the day, they tell our parents, we're going to have to vaccinate your kids, or the definitely high chances of healthcare workers coming through to vaccinate your kids along or through the year, sometime during the year. Now, do these vaccines actually cause ASD?
Absolutely not. And I am so I'm so happy with this opportunity to clear that, because and this came because of a research that was published around 1998, and I mean, it was since retracted, and the people who wrote and published the paper, actually, I think one of the lead authors was removed from the medical register because obviously there's a lot of damage that this caused, because now you scared so many parents who then stayed away and not they didn't take their kids for vaccinations, and exposing kids to very serious infections based on a lie. Okay, so vaccines absolutely do not cause autism. So what caused autism? So we don't exactly know, but we do know that there's a big component, genetic component in it, but we cannot exclude environmental factors. But the research is still continuing. It's still continuing, but we know most of the children are in fact, people are born with autism. Right, it's just that sometimes it doesn't present until later. Other people become aware. Like for instance, in my case, I was aware as early as when my daughter was around 8 months, 9 months, because I could see that she's not following gestures and stuff. And people at that time was like, "Stop! This is my first child. I'm the first time mom." People were like, "Stop looking at the child as a doctor. Just be the mom. There's nothing wrong with this child."
Sure,
I'm like, this. Definitely
I can
something.
See.
And
then
you take the child for assessment. And at that time, because now we have new research, and at that time, people are like, we cannot diagnose until the child is at least 3 years.
There are a lot of questions that we definitely still have for you, Doctor. If you want to ask Dr. Maneli some questions, hit us up on our WhatsApp line, 0817255228. Oh, Amanda, though, we have to go into our news with Usmanga Lisa. On the other side, we do continue with Doctor. Stay tuned. We're still with Dr. Maneli. I asked before these beautiful tunes, what causes ASD? Right now, Smiley has a very, very important question.
So earlier on, we established that 1 in 36 people have autism, like, as of now. Is it curable now? Now that we know that more people are getting it, are they finding ways to cure it?
No, autism is not curable. And this is very important, because there are a lot of people that come out with things, cures and possible treatment for autism, you know, confusing the parents who are already desperate to find something. But while there is no cure, there are many effective skills and behavior-based training programs that help to modify behavior. So these programs focus on improving the symptoms, especially impaired social interaction. So you can't cure autism, but we can modify the behavior so that it's more acceptable.
On that note of modifying, how can one cope? Say I have a sibling, or you, doctor, have a daughter that has autism. How do you cope?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very important question. I think obviously it's going to be a shock when the family starts, especially if they've never heard of the word autism or what it's all about. And you're going to go through, you know, learning that your child is not going to develop, and you had dreams and hopes and that for your child, and now learning that all those might not happen. But once you are over the shock of the diagnosis, it's very important to start educating yourself.
Yeah.
Educating yourself and educating the family so that the family also knows how to support you. And the other thing is, especially for the parents, self-care becomes important because it can be very taxing raising children. That's one thing that I learned from my daughter, that I also have to take care of myself.
Yeah.
So do have time. And also, because what I've seen also with parents is they tend to also now start neglecting the other kids because everyone is focusing on this one, creating resentment. So you need to involve the whole family in supporting the child with autism. There are beautiful programs that Autism SA sometimes come up with, you know, when they have siblings days. My six-year-old, the other time when I took in one of things, he was excited when he came back. Like, I thought I was the only one who has a sibling like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And I was there, and she was excited that she saw other kids her age who have siblings with autism.
Mm.
And that did something to her, you know, lighting up her face. And then says, "Mommy, I thought or was not. Yo, the others are having it hard.
Yes.
They are sisters and brothers. Yo, my sister is an angel."
So it's
important to create that support and reach out. Don't retreat and isolate yourself because you have a child with autism.
You're speaking of retreating, not retreating. You're speaking of collaboration. You're speaking of not isolating, coming together and helping out. I want us to go pay some bills right now, but on the other side, I would like, Doctor, for you to kind of answer this question. How can communities, okay. I think this is right. Very, very important
yeah.
questions.
Mm-hmm.
How can communities support families of children with ASD? When we began this neurodevelopmental center with UJ at UJFM, I remember speaking to Professor Tumidiale, and she spoke of how that there's a lot of stigma.
Yes.
In a lot of our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we end up as parents hiding our kids.
Yes.
Because we are not about gore, bari, bahlanya, abaraitu kotlogong, abaringing. So we end up doing that. So on that beautiful note, I really do want us to get on that one.
Okay.
But just a side note, man, open an F&B 1X account and pay zero monthly fees. Zitembe 7 Zelis of Life. F&B, a division of First Rank Bank Limited, and authorized FSP and credit provider. Let me give you some beautiful charms. This one is titled Lock It Down. Stay tuned. It's JM on this one, and Jay Something. It's titled If I Had You. Tell me that song does not soothe your soul. My goodness. Bringing us to exactly 51 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock. Absolutely love that one. Another thing that I love is that in studio with us, we have Dr. Lumka Maneli. And we are currently just talking about ASD. And I threw forward this question earlier on before the music that I really do think that we need to speak about community support.
Yeah.
Yes.
To the families of those that have autism, right?
Yes.
How can community support families of children with ASD, Doctor?
Thank you very much for that question, because as you can imagine, already families are under a tremendous stress when as they're raising these children, and it seems when I also attend the support groups and stuff, it will seem that parents they find that communities around them also contribute to the worry and the stress and the despair that they experience. You know, those stares or judgmental comments when the child is having a meltdown and they're looking at this child, thinking the child, you know, they don't know how to discipline their kid. If this was my child, it will go a long way if communities can really read and learn and educate themselves around autism so that they are actually a source of support and strength for these families as opposed to be a source of stress for them, because they are already going through the lot.
Already.
So, and I think it's also an individualized thing when people can go into their hearts, and because for us to be an inclusive society, we have to be able to accept those that looks different than us. So I think sometimes it's just a matter of intolerance, where we cannot make room for people who think different or do things different than us. Let's think of these children who are neurodiverse, who must navigate the world that's created by neurotypical. people,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Because the world is made for us, but they also have a right to be here.
Exactly.
And so it is just not right for us to make them feel like they don't belong.
Yeah.
They belong in this society, and we must create rooms for them and support them.
That's powerful.
And I really do hope that you noted that down, because that is definitely so powerful, Smangan. Thank you so much, Doctor, for coming through. And I really can't wait for more of these conversations.
Yeah. Yes, they're
They're super important.
Mm-hmm.
Please do send my love to your beautiful daughter.
I will.
Tell her that I really love her. I love her to bits. And I think next time when you come through, Uzenai.
Definitely.
Yes, definitely. We'd really love to see her
come through.
We'll wrap it up just like that, man. It's been a good one. It's 54 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock. Just a music break on the other side. I'm telling you about next week. Next week, Zeakalage, because there's more. There's more under this Neurodiversity Center interviews and campaigns and everything that we'll be talking about. We have parents coming through. If you want to learn more about that one, don't touch this dial. This one is Cuff It.